Today I'm sitting here with Mr. Kevin Lindemood. Mr. Lindemood, what is your position here at Healthcare for the Homeless?
Hello, Albert. I'm the president and CEO of Healthcare for the Homeless.
So what are your duties?
I'm still trying to figure that out on a daily basis. I'm a social worker by background and training. I've held about 8 different jobs within the organization over the last 25 years. My job as CEO is to make sure that we have that we set the direction of our mission in partnership with the board of directors, that we have the resources necessary to fulfill that mission, that we have the right people on board, clinicians, advocates, and other service providers necessary to fulfill that mission, and that we're investing in our staff, clients, and community to end homelessness and not just manage it.
So your mission is to end homelessness?
Our mission, yeah, simply put, we've got a mission statement that's much longer than that, right? We work to prevent and end homelessness for individuals and families by providing quality integrated health care and by advocacy for health, housing, and incomes, the three things that we believe that people need to not experience homelessness. We try to do that on the individual level and try to shape the public policies, change them, that are creating homelessness faster than we can stop it.
How do you connect with your clients?
In a number of ways. Organizationally, we ensure that 5 seats of a 25 member board of directors is made up of those seats are filled by individuals not only with the experience of homelessness, but individuals who are also clients of the organization. There also is a client or consumer relations committee of the board, whose job it is to engage other individuals, not just those that are on the board of directors, but clients of ours, to engage them into the governance of the organization. What they're looking at, the kinds of services that we're providing, what we're proposing to do. Does this make sense? Does it not make sense? That committee really meaningfully engages people in the design of programs and interventions, and I believe makes them better. We also have a series of groups, low barrier groups, that people can get involved in, like art. The art group, for example, I don't know if you've ever gone, or the yoga group, you know that group very well. And, you know, the groups do a couple of things. They engage people into care. They give people, meaningful activities that hopefully can lead to connecting to other services within the organization, but they also create leadership, right? They also provide opportunities for those that we serve, to lead others. And it's often from those groups that, eventually when we're looking to fill board seats, that we get applicants, from the groups that already are engaging people.
How can the state government help you with your goals?
How can the state government help us with our goals? Mm-hmm. State, federal, and local government helps us to a large extent through direct funding. Out of a $30 million budget, about 40% of our budget is public sector grants, federal, state, and local. About another 40% is third-party billing through things like Medicare and Medicaid. And then the rest is made up of individual contributions and other sources of funding. But actually supporting the organization through grants or initiatives that the state has oversight of as one way. I think an even greater way is by looking to understand the public policies that create and maintain conditions of homelessness, mm-hmm. and actively working with us and others to change those public policies. You know, we think that we know that through the care we provide, if we can help those that we're serving get access to three things: the comprehensive health care they need, some kind of a modest income, and access to housing that's available and affordable, we can end homelessness. So if we can do that for the individuals that we're serving, state leaders can help us on the level of public policy to make sure that housing is more affordable and available, not just to those experiencing homelessness, but to people in general, particularly those who are low income, can make sure that people have access to the income and supports that they need, whether through meaningful living wage employment or through disability assistance that's adequate if someone's unable to work. And by ensuring that people have access to comprehensive health care. Maryland has come a long way in implementing Medicaid expansion, for example, but we still have too many people who are uninsured or insufficiently insured. We need to design a healthcare system that brings everyone in and leaves nobody out.
What is your vision for the future of healthcare for the homeless?
I think healthcare for the homeless's mission would be best achieved if ultimately we were able to put ourselves out of business. How about that? If we didn't have to be here. I in fact, the first mission statement of Healthcare for the Homeless, we're a 34-year-old organization, and the first mission statement said we were going to put ourselves out of business within 10 years. This was back in 1985. 10 years before that, homelessness wasn't a foregone conclusion in the United States. What's happened, of course, over the last 34 years is that wealth and income disparity have continued to widen. People still lack access to housing, healthcare, and incomes. We believe that we need to find a way to ensure that the organization is here for the long term. So I see healthcare for the homeless going further in the direction of recognizing that healthcare needs to be broadly defined. You see by coming to healthcare for the homeless that we don't just provide medical care, but mental health services and addiction services and dental care. But we also are doing an increasing amount of work helping people get connected to housing. No matter what we do, if someone's living in someone's basement or under the Jones Falls Expressway on a park bench, there's not a whole lot we can do to improve their health. Every clinical intervention we provide is made better and more effective if rooted in permanent housing. So much so that we firmly believe that housing is healthcare. If that's the case, what's the role of an organization like ours in partnering with others to ensure that we are producing new units of affordable housing sufficient to the need and giving people the services that they need to stay stably housed and off the streets?
But I also feel that you can also grow healthcare for the homeless. My idea of growing healthcare for the homeless is hope.
Yeah.
Inspiration. When these are put out to people, this is like food, spirit food, which would give people motivation, make some people stand up, even though sometimes some people need food in order to be strong. Other people just need a helping hand. Other people just need hope.
That's right.
And some people need faith.
That's right.
So I believe that through the constant application of the ideas that you spoke about, that this I see as a giant tree of hope and compassion whose limbs extend way beyond this place. And I would like to thank you very much for your time, for your ideas, for your vision. And I think you're a fantastic person, and I think you're the right person to lead this organization into the future.
Well, thank you so very
much. Okay, we got to hit save. Here we go.
And Albert, I think you're a fantastic person too. I've watched the way that you've given such positive feedback to those who are doing this work and to other clients within the organization that are accessing care. Your leadership in our yoga group has been beneficial to so many. I firmly believe that we can build a future without homelessness, and that takes our entire community. Those who might be currently experiencing homelessness and those who aren't, those who may someday and those who never have. And it takes a broad community, and I'm so glad that you're a part of this community.
Well, thank
you. My question for you is what has been, what do you believe has been most helpful about healthcare for the homeless, for you or for those that you've seen access our services? What do you think? And then, well, let's start there. What do you think has been most helpful?
The most helpful thing is the attitude of the staff. Because I've been to a number of places, and some of these places, when you walk in, you can like, it's almost like you feel the invisible wall. What do you want?
Mm.
That I've never felt here.
Mm.
And I've never seen it. Even though there are some people that would force that type of reaction out of individuals. The next thing is the availability of the services, that you don't have to go through 100 hoops, because a lot of these people are mentally capable of going through 100 hoops. And the simplicity of how things are done, how the people who do the job here execute.
Yeah.
And through their execution, this is what causes a constant flow and a constant productive flow through this organization, especially downstairs all the way upstairs.
We're trying to make access even easier for people. You might have heard the concept of a care team. So for a long time, we continue to add more and more services at Healthcare for the Homeless. And those services have been provided by people that work on teams that are made up of their discipline. So the doctors and the social workers and the mental health therapists. We've been moving toward a model where a care team is actually made up of one of each of those providers that work together so that our clients don't have to navigate all teams all throughout the organization in order to get what they need, but that their care team can provide comprehensive services to them when they need it. Today, we're moving our first care team that has existed on paper for about 3 years. People are moving to one location of the building. So the clients that are assigned to that care team will be served by their entire care team, rather than having to go to different floors or different areas of the city in order to get the services they need. Eventually, all of our services will be delivered in this team-based way. And I think that's going to be even better along the lines of what you're saying about making it easier and easier for people to navigate our services. So my second question for you is, what can we do better?
What can you do better? I would say just continue to inspire, because sometimes you can stick out your hand, but sometimes it takes more communication with people. Even though sometimes people don't really want to hear, sometimes I think it takes sitting down with people and letting them know, look, I understand that you're a little upset right now, but you can do better than what you're doing. And this is why we're here to assist you. Things like that need to be pushed a little more, because sometimes people are upset, but they're only upset because it seems like they have nothing else and they don't see a hand. They don't feel a hand. Mm. But if they're listening at this kind of compassion floating through the conversation, sometimes that gets through the irritation, the anger, the stress. And on the other hand, there's a double effect. Even though you're talking to this person, always remember somebody else is always around listening too.
Yeah.
And that person can be planting a seed somewhere else, because it's like I was listening at these people and they were really giving them a positive input. Oh, this is what these people were doing. Hmm. Man, this is important. And that would assist with the goals too.
That's right. That's right. I think you're right. We've got to do more to engage people into care, and then to have all of us work to dismantle the systems and structures that are upholding something like homelessness to begin with. And that's a lot of complicated work. It's not the work of a minute, but I feel pretty confident that together we can do it.
Well, I think with prayer, consistency, focus, it can be done. It's just going to take a bit.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
You too, sir. And I want to thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.